Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Natstown. Welcome to Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports page and FederalBaseball.com. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I've got Doghouse from Federal Baseball on the line tonight. After the Nationals dropped their fourth straight overall, 8-2 to the Phillies in the series opener in Nationals Park. Doghouse, I know you're there. We'll start with Jordan Zimmermann's performance on the mound and what could be his last start in Washington, D.C., at least as a National. 39-21 in his career in Nationals Park, 3.04 ERA, 3.58 FIP, 1.86 walks per nine, 6.87 K to nine, 240, 287, 367 line against, and 575 innings pitched in the nation's capital since his debut in 2009. We've been through Tommy John surgery with him, that fantastic postseason relief appearance in 2012 in Game 4 of the NLDS, his no-hitter last season in Game 162. He's going to get a lot of money from someone this winter, but most likely not the Nationals at this point. Started the game with a 1-0 lead in the third, but the Phillies load the bases with no one out, a walk, a single, a bunt on which he threw to third, trying to cut down the lead runner, didn't get him. One out later, Aaron Altherr lines one to center field. Michael Taylor charges in, tries to make a diving catch, and just flat out misses it. Inside the park, grand slam, which is ridiculous, and even more so because we've seen two of them so far this season in Nationals Park. Solo home runs by Altherr again, and then Darren Ruff in the fifth, 6-1 Phillies at that point. Jordan Zimmermann's final start, possibly in Nationals Park as a National, doesn't go as planned in any way. We'll get to the second part of that statement in a moment, but 5 innings pitched, 6 hits, 6 earned runs, 2 walks, 6 Ks, 3 home runs allowed. Takes a loss tonight, 13-9 on the year afterwards, and just not a good outing for Jordan Zimmermann there.
No, mistakes were made, certainly. I got to admit, I liked Jordan Zimmermann's last outing of last year much better than his last outing of this year, sort of in the most obvious statements ever made category. But you know, despite the no-doubters he gave up on the second two home runs, it was sort of a near-run thing there. He goes to first. All right, that's one fewer runner. That maybe saves a run. He's maybe a little bit faster going to third. He's probably not going to get the out there. I think that was a mistake to go to third. He didn't – that wasn't really a close play there. But the grand slam, and I'm making quotation marks with my fingers – as I say that, was really just a straight-up misplay. Taylor tried for the all-or-nothing there, but really, come on, bases loaded. It's a one-run game at that point. I think you've got to try to keep the ball in front of you. Take one fewer step, all right, make the trap. One run's going to score, maybe two. Maybe you get a chance to play at the plate, like if you try to play it on the short hop and glove it cleanly and make a hard throw in. I think that was maybe just inexperience there. And, you know, because this is his first year up in the majors. And unfortunately, it cost as much as it possibly could have cost, at least in terms of runs. Fortunately, no one was hurt on that play. So I'm trying to look on the bright side here.
good.
And it ends up being a rather bad start for Zimmermann. You know, we've had the discussion over the course of the season about does he throw too many strikes? And, you know, certainly you could say, well, maybe he does, except for he had 2-3 walks today. If you're going to throw too many strikes, don't walk anybody, for goodness sakes.
Zimmermann was just at 79 pitches after he was done with the fifth inning, got out of that inning at least, but gave up 2 more home runs at that point, 6-2 Phillies at that point. And Matt Williams makes what is now a controversial decision that has all of Nats down in an outrage. He pulls Jordan Zimmermann for a pinch hitter. Wilmer Difel comes on, grounds into a fourth at second, eventually gets stranded on the base paths. But the outrage at that point was just, I'm not sure I understand it, honestly. We've discussed it back and forth going over the last hour or two. As I explained before the show, I consider myself one of Jordan Zimmermann's biggest fans. And as I joked, I was into Jordan Zimmermann when he was still playing in clubs, when he was playing making indie films before he sold out to the system and became a big starting pitcher. But the fans are just absolutely up in arms about the fact that Matt Williams didn't give him an opportunity to walk off the field and get an ovation from the fans. after the game, Williams was asked about it, asked if he considered sending him out for an at-bat or pulling him out mid-inning so he can get that ovation. He says, no, we've got to try to get back in the game. Jordan Zimmermann was asked the same. He said, I would have pulled me there too, but that's not going to stop any of the outrage on Twitter and social media. I'm not sure I understand it, but what do you think about the way Matt Williams handled that? And should he have been playing the fan sentiment there and send Jordan Zimmermann out so he can get that ovation? Or when you're not mathematically eliminated, even though you're eliminated in just about every other way, should you still be playing for a win there and not worry about fan sentiment and giving Jordan Zimmermann his moment at Nationals Park?
This is not 2009. Play for the win. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous enough when you hear managers saying, well, I wanted to leave him in so he was in line for the win. I mean, if you say something like, well, I wanted to leave him in and give him an at-bat so that the fans could applaud him. Oh, oops, we gave up a scoring opportunity to do that and lost the game. Come on. That is about the most silly possible way to decide how to manage the game that you can imagine. Sure, it would be nice if he could get an ovation, but gosh, fans, if you want to give Jay Zim an ovation, pay attention to what the batting order is, see him coming off the field and his spot coming up pretty soon, and clap extra hard when he walks up at the end of the fifth. I know I did. Come on. Pay attention to the game.
As it's just a situation, I'm looking at it and thinking this is just boiled over resentment and anger towards Matt Williams for what's happened this year. A lot of decisions that we've openly disagreed with, is the nicest way I can find of putting it, that he's made over the course of the season. The situation where the Nationals are now, where they're now one game, one loss on their part, or one Mets win away from being eliminated from postseason contention. I think the fact that everyone bases a lot of that anger on the fact that they were predicted by experts who usually are wrong on everything to go to the World Series this year, but is this just people angry at Matt Williams and this is another reason to kind of lash out at him and saying they want him out of here?
Well, I think that's there's a lot of truth in that assessment. And honestly, I think a lot of the reason people are Matt Williams are angry at Matt Williams and his legitimate mistakes aside is that we're just mad at the Nats this season. We wanted them to do a lot better. We've seen a lot of underperformance. There's been a lot of frustrating injuries. You know, we can't actually go out and, I don't know, call for the medical staff to be fired. Or, you know, as the old saying goes, when you can't fire the team, you fire the manager. It's sort of the same for the fans. We can't be mad at the entire team for all of the individual underperformances that we've seen from all up and down the lineup and across the rotation and throughout the bullpen this season. So we focus it all on Matty, and you know, poor guy, he's done nothing to help himself out by having Ian Desmond bunt. That's just going to make it even more of a lightning rod for all that fan angst. And you know, I certainly agree in that respect. But you know, the one real crux and center pin of the whirlwind of dissatisfaction, you know, it ends up being the head coach.
I'll tell you what had me angry tonight was watching the Nationals swing like they'd never seen a curveball before. Jared Eichhoff on the mound for the Rangers, for the Phillies. I can't read and talk at the same time. He was acquired from the Rangers in the Cole Hamels deal at the trade deadline. 1-3, a 3.16 ERA, 3.87 FIP, 11 walks, 29 Ks, 223, 380, 384 line against in 37 innings pitched since he made his MLB debut. He's coming off back-to-back seven-inning starts, though, in which he gave up just one earned run in 14 innings. Leadoff double by Anthony Rendon, a two-out RBI single by Jason Worth put the Nats up 1-0 early, but they were down 6-2, as we mentioned, after the fifth. Eichhoff ends up with 6 Ks in 4 innings pitched, 16 Ks total on 99 innings pitched in 7 innings, just not 16 Ks, 10 Ks. I can't even read my handwriting, but it looked like 16 because the Nationals were just clueless against his curveball. Either it was a really good curveball or the Nationals just weren't picking it up. Whatever it was, Eichhoff pretty much handled them after giving up that run early.
Yeah, that was I really didn't understand how lost people looked at the plate. You know, we were texting back and forth. It was like they had never seen a curveball before and were just staring out like, I thought it was a fastball, but it goes down like in some kind of, like, arc. it bends at the end. I don't understand it. It didn't go straight. What's happening?
Some sort of black magic?
I don't know. Maybe he's got some kind of short arm action that makes it hard to pick up. Like they weren't getting his release point. Yeah, they were flailing at his curve like it had just been invented.
You mentioned Michael. We mentioned, I should say, not putting it all on you here, but Michael Taylor's misplay out there, the fact that he doesn't have a whole lot of experience. Matt Williams said earlier this month that he thought he had proved himself at the major league level this season, but Bernard Stan coming off an injury-filled season. Do you think the Nationals, just to pivot here to looking towards the postseason since the Nationals are about to be eliminated, do you think they give him a qualifying offer going out here, take the chance of him accepting a $14 million or so offer for 1 year and try to rebuild his status in the majors and go out of here on a good note after an injury-filled season this year? It's kind of completely hamstring him after an injury-filled campaign to also have that qualifying offer hanging over him and kind of ruin his market, I would think. But any chance that Bernard Stan comes back next year?
I don't know, because I see if he gets a qualifying offer, I think he probably takes it, because you know as you've said, he's injured now, so he's a question mark to start the season, and he doesn't have the recent good numbers. It was a fun joke about his old man strength when he started hitting some home runs, but you know he's a guy with young man skills, and you know. As sad as it is to say for someone far away from the early 30s, he's at an age now where the young man skills start to decline a little bit. So this is really his chance to get a multi-year contract. And with that qualifying offer, giving up the draft pick to take him, that's going to make it harder for him to get, especially given the injuries. So that's going to make the qualifying offer look like the way to go for him. And I'm not sure that's the best deal for the Nats right now. He's a solid fielder. He could probably put together a 2 or 3 win season, so it will be about a wash value-wise. But the big question mark is he back healthy for opening day, you know, with a reasonable fraction of spring training to get him ready for it? And is he going to stay healthy all season? Are the Nats willing to roll the dice on that? Because I think if they give him a qualifying offer, he takes it.
I think the other interesting question there is, do they trust the outfielders they have now? Do you trust Jason Worth to put together a full season at 36 going on 37? Do you trust Michael Taylor to be out there every day as an everyday player and not strike out as much as he has and continue to play the good defense he had before tonight? And we're not going to change my opinion of him as a defender based on what he did tonight, and I feel a little bad for him now because he just was quoted on Twitter saying he thought he let the team and Jordan Zimmermann down with that play. But what if they don't bring Stan back, they have to get a fourth outfielder who can play every day, right? You're not going to be throwing Clint Robinson out there again in left field and relying on him to play a big role in there. You have to go out and get that fourth outfielder that Nate McLaughlin was supposed to be and never was over his 2 seasons in D.C., correct?
No, despite tonight, Taylor is still a solid defender. And between him and Harper, you have two-thirds of a plus outfield. Worth, he's still a solid hitter when he's healthy. He's given up a couple of steps. I really think you don't want him starting every day there in left. You want to be able to spell him and let him pinch hit and at the very least have a solid defensive replacement to put in for him in the later innings of a close game. You know, that's one thing I missed from the Riggleman days. I don't know who that outfielder is in the Nats system right now, so I think maybe they have to go get somebody.
I don't know if that outfielder is in the Nats system right now. They have a lot of young talent in outfield and a lot of unproven players, but whether or not they have someone who can step in and fill in on an everyday basis if necessary because of injury, I think they need to go out and get someone personally, but we'll see what Mike Rizzo has up his sleeve going forward here. One more note before we get out of here for the night after another disappointing loss for the Nationals. MLB handed down a 3-game suspension and an undisclosed fine for Jonathan Papelbon for hitting Manny Machado the other night pretty deliberately in most people's eyes except for Matt Williams and Jonathan Papelbon. He's going to appeal that, of course, so I don't know when he'll actually serve this. Hopefully they get it out of the way if they're not going to get an appeal going this season rather than worrying about it next year when he's going to be the closer on a team that you hope can compete again. But are you surprised at all that Papelbon actually got a suspension for this, or do you think the fact that he threw up high kind of forced MLB's hand and dangerous play on his part there? To, if you're going to hit him low and not up high in the shoulder head area.
No, I'm actually quite shocked. I haven't been following the news today, and I didn't realize that had come down. That I find that very surprising. I don't necessarily disapprove of it because, you know, I'm on record as saying that I really don't think there's a place in the modern game for shenanigans like that, especially if you're going to go up high. I can't say that I'm against the suspension. I'm a little surprised that it happened because it seems so rare otherwise. You know, if this marks a change in direction for MLB and they're going to start handing this out more often for throwing at people, you know, more power to it, because I think that shouldn't really be a part of the game anymore. But it seems a little out of the blue to just, you know, slap Paps with it right now when it's not something that happens very often.
I'll just note by saying I like Jordan Zimmerman before he was big, just like I like the Brian Jonestown Massacre before the Dig movie, and I like the Shins before they were in Zach Braff's movie. Matt Knightley, sponsored by the District Sports Page and FederalBaseball.com. The Nationals are 78-75 on the year after the loss. One more loss or one more Mets win, and the Nationals are done for postseason hopes at this point. And it's inevitable at this
we'll
point.
Finally,
so
stop worrying about it.
You have to learn to accept it, I guess. I'm regretting at this moment that we saved most of FBB's meager budget for a postseason run, but what are you going to do? One of many bad things that happened to the Nats this year. Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports Page and FederalBaseball.com. I will talk to you tomorrow after what is guaranteed to be a win, sir.
Jinxer.